Thank you, Jesus. You're absolutely awesome.
Yes, He is.
Yeah, really love you, Lord. Isn't it good?
Amen.
Thanks for just, I know you didn't have much say in it, and I went where I went this morning, but thanks for bearing with me and taking that long to, yeah, I just got into some heart stuff. Oh my goodness. Yeah, so do I. Father, whatever you want to do this second, this last hour, it's not even an hour. Just thank you, because there's a lot of places we can go right now. There's some things I had on my mind. But Father, we just yield to you. We really want to know you more. Just continue to build us up in your kingdom, in understanding, in revelation, in your unfailing love. I'm really asking this, Lord, let us be identified through you and by you and nothing else. The mistakes that people make, the things they do they should never do, the things they say that should never be said. God, help us to see that for what it really is, and let our hearts be filled with your love. And just let us be strong in you. Just asking, Lord God, that the barometer of our life would be your finished work and your unfailing love for us. That we would be so strong in identity, so strong in understanding, that nothing would ever shake us or move us again. God, I thank you. We're receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. So let us be established and firmly founded in truth. In Jesus' name. Amen. And it's just true. I don't want grace to miss my life, guys. I've prayed for years. I used to pray it with so much tears that I had to... Sometimes you can strive in your passion. Like the Bible uses the word strive to enter into his rest. Yeah, ceasing from your works like he did on the seventh day, right? But I used to get real, Todd used to get in the car and he'd say, I need this so bad, dude, I gotta have this. I'd say, I understand, your hunger's good. And I would say, be careful this and this, because it would get to a place where it was extreme. And the hunger's good, but you don't want it to produce negative stuff. Like to where you're feeling like there's nothing happening in your life. You build on what God's doing, amen, what God's saying. But I used to sit at home and I would cry easy. It would just make me cry right away. And it's funny how you talk about, you know, emotion comes right in you. But I would sit all alone and I would just tears roaring down my face and I would say this. I'd say, I was so sincere. I knew what I was saying had something to it, you know. I would say, Lord, please don't let one drop of grace available through the life of Jesus Christ given miss my life. Make me what's possible. Make me what's available. Mold me into what you accomplished. And don't let my own mind sell it short. I don't want one drop of grace to fall to the ground. That's the way I would pray. It's really a neat way to pray. Because it'll expose the way that seems right to a man. It'll expose human reasoning and stuff like that along the way, because grace does that. When you're praying, when you're releasing faith, grace starts etching you, remember? And as you're doing that, then limited thoughts, ways that seem right to man. You know, I said to these people this past weekend when I was down there, because I was preaching the word on Sunday, man, they were letting me have some freedom. And I was just really preaching the word. And the scriptures were just rolling. And I quoted like four scriptures and they're all just sitting there. And I said, do you understand that is all the word of God, everything I just said? Do you understand I'm not just talking English? That's the word of God. And they were like, yeah. And then I told them where all the scriptures were. I went bam, bam, bam. And they're all kind of like getting impressed with that. Like, this guy really knows the Bible. Well, I wasn't doing it for that. It was just in my heart. And I said, guys, right now some of you are thinking this and about it. I said, no. I said, here's the deal. I said, if I don't know truth, how can I defend against a lie? I said, it's important to fill your heart with the word. If I don't have a foundation of truth, how can I ever expose a lie or defend against a lie? How will I even know it's a lie? I said, I'll be sold so short. I'll sell so cheap. I used that phrase all weekend, selling cheap, selling cheap. And what that means, and man, you should have saw their hearts responded. But I said, if I'm not filled with truth, what standard am I going to live by? What's going to determine my wisdom? If I'm not filled with His Word and renewed the spirit of my mind, how will I ever fight and wage a good war? True? Because your emotions will sell you short, your feelings. A good friend will just speak out of their emotions because they're sentimental towards you. And because they're a good friend, you'll tend to grab it because you're emotional at that point. You follow what I'm saying? See, I got real, this thing is, it's on me right now. It's so funny how God works. As soon as I said it, it's just there. This thing rose up in me, and I'm like, try to lie to me now. You just let the devil slip up and try to tell me what I'm not or who I am and who I'm not apart from that word, and I will take off its head because it doesn't have a voice now. Try to come and talk me out of my encouraged heart. You come and try to talk me out of his love. You come and talk me out of destiny. It ain't happening. Because every word will fall to the ground. It's all a lie because I'm founded in truth. You get what I'm saying? Do you know how we entertain that stuff and even sometimes feed that stuff quietly in the quiet place of our life? Okay. Luke chapter 10. I need to go here. We're going to start here. We're going to probably stay here this week pretty much. Thank you, God. Not in Luke 10, but in we're going to kick off and stay in this concept all week. Thank you, Father. We covered this a lot last week, this kind of stuff. I wanted to show you all through the Gospels where there was unlimited promises, right? Where Jesus healed all. You can go right into the book of Acts and you can find how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power who went around doing good and healing all that were oppressed by the devil. It's pretty clear, isn't it? There's actually some people that would take that and think that, well, he was healing the ones that were oppressed by the devil, but the ones that are oppressed by God, he wasn't going to heal them. There's a thought like that out there, like God does both. Like the devil and God work kind of hand in hand. There's no fellowship between God and the devil. The Bible says that, between light and dark. There's zero. He's a God of light and there's no darkness in him. Follow me? Don't mix it up. We've called him the thief. He doesn't steal, kill, and destroy. He gives life. He gave his son. It's his good pleasure. His good pleasure to give you the kingdom. I think that's right there in Luke 11 somewhere, isn't it? But it says, fear not, little flock. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you what? What's his good pleasure? To give you the kingdom, the king's domain. So, is Luke 12? Yeah, I knew it was somewhere real close there. I could smell it. It was right there. So close. I was on point. But go to Luke 10. Don't be hanging out there in 12. You'll get reading it. It's so good, I'll lose you. That's what I do, man. Did you ever sit and hear somebody preaching and they take you to scripture and then they're still preaching and you're reading that 3-4 verses. Next thing you know, you're cross-referencing and you're 2 chapters over and they just made 3 points and you don't even know what they said. Oh my goodness, it happens to me. I confess it all the time. I'm off on my little journey. God, that's so good. There's more. Forgive me, Jesus. Okay, so in Matthew 10, he sent out his disciples. We knew that. He told them to preach the kingdoms here and heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, and cast out devils. For freely you have... Wow. So if it wasn't God's will to give us those things, how could we ever give those things? God said, freely you've received, so it must be in the kingdom. The kingdom is here. So healing, deliverance, freedom, it comes through the... It's in the kingdom. So, man, he's good. So he says, you've received it, so give it. One of the greatest things you can do when you're not completely in wholeness, when you feel sick, when you have a situation in your body you haven't seen changed, one of the greatest things you can do is pray for the sick. Because it's your statement that I believe the word in a greater way than what I'm experiencing. And I honor God's word way above what's happening right now. And I'm in position to receive and be healed. And the fact that I believe is evidenced in the fact that I'm going to pray for the sick. That is not, and I stressed this in the school before, that is not hypocrisy. Praying for the sick while you're sick. Hypocrisy is play acting. Hypocrisy is wearing a mask. Hypocrisy is acting like something you're not. When you're praying for the sick, you're not claiming to know it all. And it doesn't mean that you're perfectly well in your body. It just means you're honoring the word and you believe the word's true above your own life. And that you're going to continue to pray the sick. It's the greatest expression of faith to me. It's incredible. Most people that have an ailment or a situation refuse to pray for the sick because they're so conscious of their own struggle. And they say, well, I can't pray for the sick because I can't even get healed. I mean, how can I pray for the sick and believe when I can't even believe for me? Well, you're not trying to believe. You're in a position of faith. Faith is the position of your heart to receive what he accomplished. Faith is a lifestyle. It's a mentality. It's a perspective. Are you following me? Faith isn't something you're struggling for. It's not something you're trying to find under a rock. Not being sarcastic, I'm just using that as an example. It's not something that's out there lost you're trying to bump into. And until you find it, you're not qualified to pray for anybody because look at my own life. That's what people say. Do you hear how rational that is? And how that mindset seems right to a man and produces zero life? Do you see how easy we're scammed, how quick we sell cheap? Because we go, well, yeah, but let me think about that. That is a scary place most of the time. to muddle over the, muse over the word, and that's all good. But to just say, let me think apart from him and truth. Well, yeah, but I'm sick. I mean, who am I to pray for the sick? I can't even get this for myself. How can I believe for anybody else? I can't pray for the sick until I get myself straightened out. And then you're on this self-focus, this striving, feeling disqualified, feeling at bay, feeling on the bench. It's not a good place. And I've seen countless people in that place. So that's just as we begin this thing here, because we're going to talk all week about you and I ministering the kingdom and shining his lights and loving people. It's why you're on the planet, by the way. It's why you're here. It's to love people. To be loved by God, to love God and love people. That's why you're alive. Period. That's amazing. What a joy. So, it doesn't matter what you haven't received yet. It matters that you believe God's word. Because even if you've not received yet and you believe God's word, your heart's in a position of faith and confidence. You still have joy. You're still in fellowship with God. If you're not in that place, you got 20 questions, intimacy subverted, and you're confused. And you're not even having relationship. You're just conscious of what you're not receiving and what you're not getting and what am I doing wrong and I got to try harder. Well, I need to get this, brother. No, you need to take a deep breath, relax, and receive the love of God. Are you okay with that? Can I talk like that? Is that okay? I didn't offend anybody, I hope. No, it's serious. It's like, whoa, 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 whoa. Because the worst thing you can do is turn this into a method or an abracadabra or a genie in a bottle or a way to get a better life. You'll be disappointed if it's that. You'll be 30-day money-back guarantee kind of people. You'll be like waiting for God to prove it. Just 60-day try me, see if you like me. No, we're in this for life. Faith is a lifestyle. It's not something you do. It's something you live. You get this? You follow the simplicity of what I'm saying right now? So here's the deal. So you do have an ailment in your body. I'm not saying it's who knows, that can bug you sometimes. If I had an ailment in my body, I'm just telling you, I'm a pretty emotional fella. It would bug me. But it wouldn't overtake me. It wouldn't rob my identity. It wouldn't get me to struggle and strive in that sense. It would actually draw me to his love. It would actually get me to respond in him. It would actually, I would allow that. That would be a tool, a stepping stone, if you will. It would take me to him. You following what I'm saying?
It's good.
To where I'm like, Father, I so appreciate what you've accomplished. What you've accomplished is settled, it's sure, and I'm receiving it. I thank you that, Father, I realize through your word this has nothing to do with my creative value. It is your will, and I thank you that you're breathing life into me. You're strengthening me. God, I thank you. You're making all things new. Your love for me is incredible. And I'll wake up the same way. I'm going to walk out that thing. Okay? Okay. Please. I know what I'm hearing right now. I can hear some thoughts rattling in the room. Please don't judge what I'm saying and compare what I'm saying to your circumstance and give yourself a reason to not be in faith. Say, well, yeah, but you haven't been in anything for as long as I have, and you haven't been faced with it. If you start comparing yourselves among yourselves, you'll give yourself an out, and you'll fail to pursue truth. You follow me?
Right.
Be real careful that you don't exempt yourself from relationship and love and come up with a reason why you can't or why it's hard. Or, yeah, but you don't understand. When you do that, you give occasion for the flesh. You actually suppress your spirit, man. You actually justify whatever's not good, whatever you're not doing good with. Are you okay if I'm talking this plain? You good? Now, that language is cheap, and I hear it a lot, and it's not that we're evil, willful, we're good people. It's the way that seems right. And then we start justifying weakness instead of pursuing strength. I'm just talking as plain as I can for our sakes. If you get offended with what I'm saying, that already reveals something. You're just taking what I'm saying personal because you've already become that. So please hear me in the heart of where I'm talking from. You follow what I'm saying? I've ministered truth to people over the years, and they get vehement. They get very angry. You know, a lot of people love me, but you either love me or hate me. It's one or the other. Serious. I like that because I don't want to preach middle ground. I'm not here to appease somebody's ears. So you either love me or hate me. It's one or the other. If people are pursuing God and they're sincere and they're hungry and they're going after God, they get in denial, they get in whatever, then they start resenting me. I've bumped into that. I've had people tell me they hate me. I don't know why. I'm such a nice guy. They have to be deceived. Yeah, I don't fit into their mindset. I don't fit into their will, their life. So then hate is murder. So just cut the person off. That doesn't work. Truth still speaks. Truth's still alive. You kill Stephen, it's still the same. Truth still, you kill Jesus, truth's still the same. You kill Stephen, truth's still crying out. You martyr hundreds and hundreds of Christians, truth's still here. You can't kill it. Oh, man, that feels happy. Oh my goodness. So in Luke 10, he does something a little different here in Luke 10. After these things, verse 1, the Lord appointed 70 others also. Wow. Now, I like that. I don't know about you, but I think that's pretty cool. Because we're like, well, yeah, but that was in the apostles' days, and that was for the disciples. Well, you can blow that out of the water. Some of these things we say in the church and grow up believing, it fascinates me. And I'm not being crude or rude when I say this. It makes me wonder if we even read our Bibles, because it's like, We've got to be reading our Bibles through a certain eye. I guess there's filters on us. So when you read your Bible, you read it to support a certain thing, and then you see it a certain way or something. I don't know how it happens. But I would tell you, if you get alone with Jesus and ask him to reveal truth to you and just show you truth, man, it comes. It's like, whoa. Because there's so many scriptures coming to my mind right now that reveal that this thing is for us just as much as the apostles. You can't even get around it. It's so clear. You would have to so misinterpret. And see, here's the thing. A lot of these things that people say that are so misinterpreted, they take one scripture that's complex and make it say something, but it's at the cost of 3 or 4 or 5 crystal clear scriptures. That's a dead giveaway. If you're interpreting a scripture at the cost of a whole bunch of other scripture to where you almost have to tear that out to make this work, you probably ought to reconsider what you're defining it to say. Because in the long run, it should all complement one another. It's like one big puzzle coming together in one beautiful picture. You get it? And that's how the Bible should be interpreted through Holy Spirit. You can't interpret a scripture at the cost of other scripture. So here's 70 more. I mean, he adds 70. Who are these 70 people? It doesn't really say. Who are they? How did he choose them? What gives them the right? How did they qualify? Because Jesus wanted to. He picked them. Why did he pick the 12? Just.
He knew they'd come.
Duh. He picked them. They were ready. They're in position. They went. It's good, Donna. But isn't this cool? He added 70 more. It just fascinates me because it's prophetic. It's a statement. He's pointing to something. He's saying this isn't a one-time deal, Matthew 10, and it's not just reserved for this little niche of people. I'm adding to this number. And he's really declaring that there's a time coming where believers are going to live this way, where I'm going to go to Jerusalem, give my life, raise from the dead, hand you the baton, you're going to be my church. It's really prophetic. It's really amazing. He had 70 others also and sent them, which means Jesus, just like knighting people, he rules his kingdom with the scepter of righteousness. You come and you kneel and you bow before him in humility, and he comes and dubs you righteous and anoints you, and boom, and you're knighted in the kingdom, and now you're a soldier, and yay. Come on, it's amazing. That means he can qualify you. He can anoint you. He can give you his authority. He says all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Now go. What's he saying? It's yours. Because you're in me and I'm in you and you're my church. Why are we confused about that? Why do we argue over that? Why are we afraid to receive that? Why do we want to stay beaten, defeated, and frustrated and argue over something so clear? Listen, you can if you want. I'm going to stay full of joy and watch like I saw this weekend. I'm going to watch stuff I saw all weekend. You can stay argumentative all you want. I'm going to watch the gospel transform lives. I'm going to watch young men say, I didn't think this was real. Oh my God. Yeah. Fight with me all you want. I tell people, I haven't seen enough. I'm just getting rolling. But I've seen way too much to change my mind. Listen, all authority. Matthew 28. How much authority? Oh, is he name above every name? Will every knee, heaven, earth, under the earth bow? Will, won't it? Will the devil bow? Will he be wrapped in chains and thrown in fire forever? Can he do anything to stop it? Because he can't stop God. He doesn't have that kind of power. He can only deceive us and try to stop God's power. Get us to argue over things that are settled. Get us to build streams and camps and rivers that don't exist in the kingdom. Follow me? How much authority has been given unto me in heaven and on? Do you know in Matthew 28? You better look at it just so you know I'm telling you the truth. I can quote this stuff, but we're in a school. I guess we better go to the text. Matthew 28, verse 18. This one puzzles me, if we back up here. Look at verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. Watch how the human mind can work. Here's 11 disciples, okay? They went away into Galilee on a mountain which Jesus had appointed. So they said, The girls said, hey, you're supposed to go meet him on this mountain. Remember? So they go. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. He's raised from the dead. He's standing there, and they go, oh, and they're worshiping. And some are going, and they're, but in their minds, they're going, can this really be you? I mean, you died. How can it be you? And they're rationalizing, and they're doubting. And he's standing right there, raised from the dead. Right in front of them, and some doubted. Do you see that? I learned from that stuff. I said, that is not the crowd that I'm running with. Yeah. There's 11 in the room, and some are worshiping and some are doubting. I will be a worshiper, period. I will worship you, Jesus. I do not honor my mind above my heart. Hello? Oh, that was a good word right there. Yeah. I will not honor my mind above my heart. Jennifer, I'm not going to do it. Don't you do it. Run with me. Be a worshiper. Amen. Yeah. Are you getting it?
Yep.
You want to be a worshiper. You don't want to doubt. Well, I know they're really healed. I mean, emotions are, you know, and sometimes it's psychos. It's just people just, they think they're healed. They just want to be healed, so they gear their mind. It's just, people in the church do those studies and think that way. And come up with what seems to be a general truth about a thing that can be possible. But what about the supernatural? What about things made new? What about things just, so it's mind over matter? Well, we ought to be teaching everybody with cancer just mind over matter. We ought to be teaching every birth defect mind over. We ought to be teaching that principle then. Wouldn't have so much trouble. Come on, that's ridiculous. Jesus is the healer, and sometimes we need restoration.
It says in the Bible that we're supposed to live under love, power, love, and sound mind. And sound mind, the word sound, actually means to have a trained, disciplined mind. It's militant.
That's right.
It's like you need to take charge of your
militant
mind. Do not think that flush.
That's right.
Do not receive that flush.
Colossians 3 says, set your mind on the things above and not the things of the earth. So what do you have to do? You have to literally set your mind. You position your mind. You live out of your heart, your mind comes into agreement. It's just you have to make your mind follow your heart. It's just a big deal. It is militant. It's discipline. Watch this. When they saw him, they worshiped, but some doubted. I have that circled and underlined. I'm like, huh? And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, look what he said. He even spoke to the doubters. Patty, I hope that laugh wasn't, there's hope for me. He's still speaking. She's, oh, I'm just having fun. Oh, I got to sit down on that one. Patty had too much relief come on her. I'm having fun with you, girl. Watch this. So he did. Remember in Mark, he corrected them for their hardness of heart and unbelief. Because they didn't believe the ones that saw him after he raised. And in the same breath, he said, now go into all the world and make disciples. Reproduce yourself. He saw right past their weakness, imparted strength, and sent them out in the truth. Yeah. They're sitting there in unbelief. He says, what are you guys doing? You ought to know better. Come on, they were family. They saw me. You ought to just believe. Why are your hearts hard? Now listen, get over that and get out there. Bam. Set them right out. Some doubted. Some are worshiping. Some doubted. They all have the same commission. The doubt doesn't change the commission. The door's still open to go. The doubt's probably just what'll keep you from doing it. But Jesus didn't change his mind, did he? Jesus didn't say, look, you guys that are worshiping me, here's a special assignment. He's talking to everybody. Come on, you need to see that stuff. Jesus came and spoke to them saying, how much authority? All authority has been given to who? Well, it's to him. To me, he says, to me. In heaven and where? It's important. He says on earth on purpose. Heaven and on earth. Go therefore. What's he doing when he says go therefore? He's sending us in that authority. Because he's sending us in his name. It's an ambassador. An ambassador goes and represents what it's an ambassador of and represents completely, fully, and walks in the authority of that representation. When he says all authority, this is on purpose. All authority is given to me, now go, because he's saying, you're one with me. I'm in you. You're in me. So he's actually handing you the authority. In Matthew 10, when he says, go preach, saying the kingdom's here, he put the authority of the kingdom on them and sent them, and that he hadn't even died and rose from the dead yet. He just gave it to them and sent them in his name. Now he's raised from the dead, and he comes and puts the kingdom inside of us and tells us to go and say, hey, the kingdom's here. The kingdom's in reach. It's near you. It's like 2 feet away. Right? Yeah. Go therefore and make disciples, not confessing Christians. Not praying a prayer just to go to heaven and get your name in a book someday. Make disciples. Disciples are disciplined learners. Disciple is wholehearted follower. John 8 defines a disciple. It says, if you continue in my word, you're my disciple indeed. Not if you continue in your human reasoning, your emotions, your rationale, and the way the world thinks. But if you continue in my word, you reveal you're my disciple. You're following me. You know the privilege of that? You will know the truth. It's John 8, 32. You will know the truth. And what? Truth. What? Truth. That's just you being illuminated. Seeing what you didn't see before. Being held by truth. You're okay because of what you see. Before you weren't okay. Nothing's in line. But all of a sudden, nothing's changed. But you see different and you're okay and nothing's changed. Who's ever experienced that? That in the middle of chaos, God gave you a revelation that comforted your heart and held you stable, and even the chaos didn't change yet. It's your perspective. It's truth. It girds you. It holds you. Does it make sense? Oh, truth is your best friend, I promise. He's the spirit of... He's our best friend. Truth's my best friend. He came and he said, I'm the truth. We beheld him in grace and truth. Man. The grace of truth. Think about that. That's another topic. But... Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Watch. Teaching them. Teaching who? Them. The disciples that are coming through the disciples. Teaching them. Who's he talking about? You and me. He's talking about people that believe. Teaching them to observe what? All things I've commanded you. So when he says, go in and to the world and preach the kingdom's at hand, heal the sick, is that a command? Is that something he sent them to do? Did he command them to do that? So all things that he's commanding, they're commanding us to do the same? Isn't it amazing how somewhere along the line, it got taught that that's not for us today, that that day passed away, that when we got the word, that ended all. Isn't it amazing how opposite the things we grew up hearing and hearing preached is from what's really being said? Remember how last week I got on that when and if thing and how we've shifted the whens and ifs? The Bible says, if you sin, we think when we sin. With fasting, it says when you fast, we think if I ever decide to fast. It says when you fast and if you sin. We say if I fast and when I sin. That is not an accident. That's not happenstance that that's happened. It's not happenstance that the Bible says, get your hopes up. It's the anchor of your soul. It goes through the veil into his presence. Faith is the substance of the things you hope for. In your whole life you heard people compassionately say, well, now, honey, don't get your hope up. Your whole life. Well, it'd be great if that happened, but honey, it doesn't always work. Don't want to see your heart broken, so don't get your hope up. And the Bible says, no, get your hope up. Your whole life, well, honey, just what you don't know won't hurt you. Look, what you don't know won't hurt you. You read that book, it says what you don't know will destroy your life. It's not an accident that you grew up hearing those things your whole life. Because they're contrary to truth. It's a strategy and it's from hell. Well, what you see is what you get, brother. Totally anti-gospel. Well, you made your bed, sleep in it. Yeah. No, you know what I say? No, he made my bed and it has nice clean sheets. I'm crawling in that one.
Yum.
You're getting it, girl. That's a righteous dance. Whoop, whoop. See, she's gone now. Teaching who? Teaching who? Them. Us. To observe what? Some things or all things? Come on, be real with me. Some things or all things? See, this has to be important to us. We have to catch this. That I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you. Always. Now watch. When you go, is he with you? You know why he's with you? Because you went. Because if he didn't go with you and you went, why would you go? You don't go without him. Oh. Do you understand? Go to Mark. My Bible is falling apart. It's so well used. It's. Were you hearing Holy Spirit or something there? She said it's time. I'm going to have to go pray about that one. Go to Mark 3 real quick with me, real quick. Mark 3:13, and I know we probably covered this in the school, but because in the first week we talked about intimacy, but it's just good to rehash some things and keep some things. Somebody just said to me, I was down in Virginia, they said, you know, you say so many of the same things over and over and over, and I love it. That's what they said to me. You have to understand how gospel that is, how gospel it is to say the same thing over and over again. Paul writes, he says, it's not tedious for me to write the same thing over and over again because for you it's a safeguard. It's in Philippians. Hebrews 2 says, take earnest heed of the things you've heard, lest you slip away. 2 Peter 1 says, Peter says, I write these things even though you know them and are established in them. But I believe it's good for me to stir you by reminding. There's so many places.
Yeah.
So it's scriptural for me to say the same thing. Or it's not because I don't have anything else to preach. It's because some things are so important they need to be understood. Because they're foundational. And if the root's good, the tree's good. And if the tree's good, the fruit's good. So let's get rooted and grounded in love and spring up as trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. Yeah. Okay. And he went up on the mountain. Now here's these guys that he's talking to in Matthew 28. It's the same guys. That's why I turned you here. In Matthew 28, he's saying, he's sending them, right? He's telling them, all authority's been given to me in heaven and earth. See, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. I understand that the whole world's in the sway of the wicked one. That means they're just going with the tide of selfish desire and lust, going with the tide of temptation and flesh. He's the God of this world. In other words, people have come under his dominion, so to speak, by agreeing with him and yielding with his pleasure and his stuff. And blah. You see what I mean? But who knows that God is still God? He says in Luke, we got to do this. It's a school. I can't just preach this stuff out. We got to look at this stuff. Look at Luke 4, verse 5. This is the devil tempting Jesus. The devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Luke 4, chapter 5. I hear all them pages. I better wait. Verse 5, Luke 4. You ready? Okay. The devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, watch. All this authority I will give you and their glory for this what? This authority, this glory, this, isn't that amazing? When God made man in the garden, he gave him the earth. He said, subdue the works of my hands. Tend the earth, govern it, keep it, have dominion over every creeping thing, and even the creep, right? The creep. So he has authority, he has dominion over the earth. Here's Satan telling Jesus all this authority. He's not just deceiving him here. He's trying to deceive him, but he's not just lying. He's actually making a point that, look, this was handed to me. This was delivered to me. It was set on my doorstep, and I can give it to anybody I want. Watch. He says, all this authority I will give you and their glory. Isn't it amazing that Jesus is here to gain back all the authority in heaven and earth, and the devil's cutting in front trying to counterfeit that giving and the giving of that authority? A false sense of authority. He's trying to deceive him and counterfeit and shortcut and make it all about Jesus having the authority instead of Jesus representing the Father and loving the world. It's a power trip. Just twisted. But there's a point here we've got to see. I will give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whoever I wish. Oh, Jesus, you're amazing. He says, therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours. Who knows that that's a setup, and that's deception, and that's twisted. Watch this. Jesus answered and said to him, get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. So from that moment on, what did Jesus do in his life? When you see me, you see the Father. I know where I come from. I know where I'm going. The Father's always with me because I always do what he says to do. I don't do anything but the will of him who sent me. The whole way through. So he's worshiping the Lord with his life. He's serving him the whole time. And now he dies as a man. Sinless, blameless, as a lamb, as a man, as a lamb slain. He raises from the dead for our justification. And in Matthew 28, he rises up and says, all authority has been given to me. What happened? He took the keys of death, hell, and the grave. He took the authority that Adam passed on through deception and gave to the devil. He took it from him by being the perfect sacrifice, sinless and sin-free. And now all that authority comes to Jesus. Now what's Jesus do? He gives it back to man just like God did to Adam in the first place. It's all there. God breathed into Adam. Adam became alive. Jesus raised from the dead and breathed into his guys. Life came into their spirit. Come on, it's all there. Mark 3, I turned you there, didn't I? We probably ought to read it. I'm so happy. Forgive me, I'm just so happy. I am pumped. Do you know this gospel doesn't get old to me? It's so fresh. It says every day there's mercy. Fresh mercy and fresh grace every day. Yeah. Mark 3, we're going to try to do this. He went up on the mountain and called to him those who he himself wanted. Wow. He appointed 70 more. And now he called all of our hearts. Those who he predestined, he called. Those who he called, he justified. This is Romans 8, I'm quoting. Those who he justified, he glorified. He glorified? Yeah, by filling us with the same Spirit that raised him from the dead. So, if any man's come to him, if any man's desired him, it's because he's been wooed and called by him. So, are we all called? Does he want us all? Are we his choice? Are we his desire? Hello? So are you the called of the Lord?
Yes.
Yeah. So he called to him those who he himself wanted. Well, he's wooing all men, isn't he? At this point, it was reserved to who? Those 11, because he was imparting to them, he had intimacy with them, he was preaching the gospel to all men, but to these men he imparted something. Why? Because he's about to commission them after he raises from the dead, and he's going to send them out as the nucleus, if you will, of the church that is. It's, you get this? They're going to carry that torch. They're going to be fruitful and they're going to tend and keep the earth, the garden. They're going to subdue the earth, not be subdued by it. And they're going to be fruitful and... Sound familiar? Oh, my goodness. He went up on the mountain. He called to them who he himself wanted. And, oh, look at this good news. And they came to him. Thank God. Don't run from him. Come to him. Don't hide. Don't get in denial. Don't do injustice to your own heart and soul. Yield to him. Amen? Then he appointed 12... Look what he appointed them to. What did he appoint them to? To be with him. What's first? How intimate and precious is that? He didn't appoint them to go do miracles. He appointed them to be with him. Do you hear the intimacy of that? Do you hear relationship? Do you hear love? Oh. They appointed him that they might be what? With him. And look at the order. Because see, if this isn't the order, you'll go without him. You go because you're with him. You don't go because that's what qualifies you to say you're with him because you went. You go because you're with him. Relationship is huge. You don't live without the grace of God. You don't go. Watch, it says, how can they hear? How can they believe if they haven't heard? How can they hear if they have no one to preach to them? And how can they preach if they haven't been sent? Guess what sends you? Being with him. Because when you're being with him, you become one with his heart and you have to go. Do you see the concept? When you're with him, you become one with him. His heart is yours. And the go in his heart is the go in your heart. That's why every Christian, whether they're taught this or not, is conscious at times of people and feeling like they ought to go step in and maybe go pray or encourage, or and they're not sure how to get, and they kind of pull back, but they're conscious, they're aware, they know they could. Because it's God's heart inside of them. I love them. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Oh, yes, you can. Who's ever been in that situation? Who's ever been in the one where you were so aware that it was available and you so wanted to, but you just weren't? I think we've all been. And you just kind of find reasons why maybe you shouldn't. But you sure can't deny that the opportunity's there and you... And you feel pulled, and yet you pull back, and you feel pulled, and you pull back. Who's ever been through that? Why? It's because it's God's Spirit in you. It's His heart. You're one with Him. And God's attention is there. God's heart is saying this. You wouldn't even think that way apart from Him. You'd be just busy about yourself. Really? Most of the time, that's how it would be. He appointed them that they might be what? With him. Oh, and from that place, right? That he might send them out to preach. So being with him is what sends you out. Wow. That they might be with him, that he might send them out. Hear purpose? Hear order? Oh. Man, that way you're going by the Spirit, you're going in grace. It's not, well, if you're a Christian, you better go out. You ought to be loving on people. If you're a Christian, you need to do that. No, we shouldn't even have to preach that. We should preach, be with him, and then he cultivates love in our heart. And all of a sudden when we hear go, we go, yeah, why not? And even if we're still getting over ourselves in areas and building confidence and still have to stir ourselves to cross certain lines, we so understand it's God. You follow me? I'm laying a real simple, big-time foundation, but simple to understand before we get into the rest of this week, because we're going to talk about loving people all week and just some good stuff. It'll be good. That they might be with him, that he might send them out to preach. So it must be important to be with him, and it must be just as important to be sent out to preach, because how can they hear if they have no one to preach? How do they know love if they haven't met you? Why do we just think God has to show up in everybody's dreams? We're so spiritual, brother. We just believe God will invade their dreams. Well, wonder if he wants to say hi through you. Oh, my goodness. You guys all right? Preaching good, Becky, ain't I? Told you I had a good weekend. I am so pumped. Oh, my goodness. That he might send them out to preach. Uh-oh. There has to be authority involved in this. Oh, my gosh. Does your Bible say power or authority? Because if it says power, the word is actually authority. Power and authority are the same. If it's the same Greek word, but it's a different word than power, like dunamis. You follow me? Yeah. Authority. The best word here is authority. To have authority. Might be better to understand authority than power to heal sickness. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All weekend I was saying, oh my goodness, because I perceive certain things when I'm ministering certain ways, and God just lets it's been that way since I've been saved practically. But I was so aware of the authority of the name of Jesus so many times this weekend, and I found myself saying, oh my goodness, his authority. Authority's in the room. Do you perceive the authority of our King? It's in us. It's with us, guys. He's in agreement. He's saying yes. And there's like, the atmosphere was full of, impregnated with authority. And you speak and things happen. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's really cool. We're trying to have power. We have to understand that all authority is Jesus. And he said go because we're in him. We're one with him. We're the body of Christ, the embodiment of his anointing. So he wanted them with him that he might send them out to preach and have what? So not just to preach, but to have authority to heal sicknesses. I've heard this countless times. Well, brother, it's not always about just healing the sick. It's not just about the sick. People need saved. It's not just about healing the sick. It seems important to him. He's the one that talks about it all the time. He's the one. It's his fault. I find it everywhere I'm reading. It's don't take it up with me. I'm not chasing signs and wonders. They follow the believer. They're not lost. They're hovering over belief, waiting for it to happen. Belief. Signs and wonders are spiritually following every one of us, waiting for belief.
They're not lost. Belief gets lost. Signs and wonders know right where they are. They're waiting to happen. Come on, I'm just trying to be understandable and simple. I'm not trying to be silly. I'm trying to make this as plain. It's so plain. It's so simple. Watch. To have authority to heal sickness. So God must want to heal the sick if he's going to give us authority to do it. Do you see why it's important to have healthy identity? Do you see why it's important to not be self-conscious? See why it's important to not move in fear and get into works and think it has to do with you? You're God's elect. You're God's choice. You're the roster of heaven. You're the team of God. You're the best he's got. You're the ones he could find, and it's so good enough. He's happy about that. And we're going, who, us? Man, what a ragtag team we are, boy. No different than the apostles. Good point. Why is it any different than the men he chose in the first place? Right. Us sitting here. Why is it any different? Yeah. Uh-oh. Sorry, I had no idea. Thank you. We're actually after 12. So we are done. There is always tomorrow. That they have authority to what? Heal sickness and cast out what? That's amazing. Watch this. Watch this. Jesus didn't even die, shed his blood, or raised from the dead. And he's still Lord, so he could still delegate authority to men to have power over the thing that had them in a vice. That means demons don't stand a chance in the presence of God. Don't even stand a chance. And yet we're afraid of stuff because we don't understand who he is and who we are. I'm not talking presumptuous and arrogant right now. I'm talking plain truth. So the heal the sick. So is it important to God that people are healed? Because he's given you authority to do that. It doesn't even, I know this will make some people a little frustrated at times, but it doesn't even say to get them into heaven or get them what we call born again. That's God's heart for every man, I understand. But he wants them to preach and have authority to heal sickness. That's his intention. He says, go into the city and preach the kingdoms here and heal the sick. We've turned it into getting people to quote our prayer and repeat this prayer we came up with about 100 years ago called the Sinner's Prayer. We thought we'd help God out, and we have a better idea. Let's just get everybody to quote this prayer. Jesus said, no, would you go with authority and heal the sick and cast out devils and move darkness off of people so they can see the light?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. I'm done. We got to quit. Stand to your feet, would you, please? And let's honor him. Honor Jesus. Father, we just honor you. Would you do this with me? Yeah, that's right. Lift your hands to him and just honor him. It's just a sign of yielding, honor. I yield, adapt myself to you. I honor you. I worship you. I lift hands to you. I'm like the little child saying, thank you, Daddy, for picking me up, pulling me up out of life, delivering me, making me whole, letting my heart come alive, be filled with hope and confidence in you. Thank you. It's not a whim. It's not presumptuous. It's not a tangent. It's not concocted. It's right there in your word. So, Father, thank you for letting me run right into you. And just thank you for calling me and choosing me and building me up for your glory and your name's sake. I know I'm loved. I know your pleasure is to give me all that you are. I receive it and I thank you. I thank you that you've created me in your image. Thank you for seeing fit to see my day. I don't dread life. I value life. And I face every opportunity to manifest your love. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Bless you guys. I love you guys.